This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, everyone. Hi, good evening. Welcome to ENN on this Wednesday, March 24th. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I haven't talked to God about April 1st yet.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Thornton with the pitch. Long drive by Aaron Judge to left field. We know it's gone. Home run, Aaron Judge. Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
Never. It was not to be, though.
Not to be.
It was not to be.
Not for lack of effort, though.
Tried.
Oh, yeah, he tried. There's no doubt about it. That's that. Don's an effort guy.
Didn't even come close. There wasn't even a close one.
I mean, I would argue Don didn't even get to call a play, with all due respect, that resembled interesting. Don, what was the most interesting play you got to call?
I have the scoreboard there wasn't right here.
There wasn't an extra base hit, was there?
No, there's no extra base hit, just the base hit.
So the Yankee innings he did, a base hit by Sanchez.
Let's hear that. Let's hear this. This might have been a nice, solid base hit to right from Sanchez. Let's hear that.
All right, Gary Sanchez, the big topic of conversation almost every day on the Michael K Show, swings and fires it to right field for a base hit. So first pitch Gary Sanchez came in with 176 as a batting average, but three home runs and four RBIs and a two-out hit for Sanchez.
And you stopped it right before my good point, guys. I jumped in right there. It's gone. Womp, 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 womp.
Sad.
But it is a point. It's a point I think that bears repeating, Michael. Here we are again with Gary. Everything felt so good at the beginning of spring training. He's hitting Bombas. People were getting excited that Gary was back in the zone. Judge said Gary could be an MVP, and then we find out he's your opening day catcher for Garrett Cole, and now, Michael, the last couple weeks cold again, huh?
He is cold, did pick up that hit, and I believe it was to right field. That's always a good sign with him that he's used. Yeah, it was to right field, so he's using it.
You didn't believe
field.
Me? Come on.
No. We'll see. I mean, he's going to be under the microscope. We had a call yesterday we never got to, and he asked, well, how long is the leash? Well, what are your alternatives? I mean, are you ready to hand the job over to Kyle Higashioka? So I think the leash would be in the two-month realm, and then they might have to do something if he's just terrible. I don't think he's going to be terrible. Is he going to be great? Don't know. My guess is he'll be somewhere in between. He's going to have to take an exponential jump from last year to be great.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. All right, guys, there's a lot to talk about in the world of sports, professional or otherwise.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Kyle Rudolph saga. He comes to the Giants. Everyone gets excited. Okay, another tight end to go along with Evan Ingram. He's a veteran. He's been great. He's on the back nine, but a solid player. But then all of a sudden, hold on. The guy may need surgery. Is this the move? Okay, maybe he's not going to sign. He does sign. He's here. He's a Giant. He's going to have surgery, but he says he'll be ready for week one. And here's Kyle Rudolph on why the fit with the Giants was right.
For me, going through the free agency process, each and every day were new updates, new teams, new opportunities. And I remember telling my wife, we were sitting at lunch in Minnesota with our two-year-old son, and I just got off the phone with Coach Judge and Coach Garrett. And, at that point, there were 12, 13 different options. And I knew New York was the place that I needed to be. This was the team. This was the organization that we needed to go to next. It was just, like I said, as soon as I hung up the phone, I knew this was the perfect fit.
Jets add to their defensive line. They signed veteran Vinny Curry to a one-year, $1.3 million contract. Guys, we've seen a handful of those from the Jets.
Yeah, they've gone about their business nicely. And one other thing I wanted to say about the Giants, I mean, you see the guys that have signed, and a lot of them are saying they really liked what they heard from Judge. You know, Judge impressed them.
Well, he impresses us.
Yeah.
It's not surprising. And I want to say this again, because I remember very well how hard I was on Judge and how annoying I sort of thought his spiel was on day one. He not only has sort of backed up what he said, but he's proven to be a much more complete character than he gave us that day. Like, he's not just rah-rah Joe football. He's a guy who supports players. He's got emotion. He has fun. He answers questions. So it doesn't surprise me that players like him.
Yeah, and I think all I went in, because I was kind of leaning towards you, Peter, and are we just going to get a Belichick clone, because we had that with Mangini. But I said, let's get to know him a little bit more and see that this isn't some act, that this is who he is. And I think he showed that that's who he is.
And, you know, and if there was an act on, if there was any act, he maybe was a little more rah-rah Joe football than he actually is. And that's a good thing. That was just, it was day one and he didn't have a camaraderie yet. So he leaned into, you know, his football approach.
Right.
But as the season went on, you realize he's a lot more than that.
Yeah, ask Logan Ryan and how that situation was handled by Judge. You know, when his wife was going through the pregnancy thing and he left the team, like, it wasn't all football. He showed a human side, and that's what players connect with.
And you don't have to be – we kind of talk about the players' coach, and it feels like you either have to be Belichick, where a lot of people leave and, like, I had no fun. I barely knew Belichick, whatever it may be, or you're a pushover. And I think Joe Judge shows you can be a players' coach and hard-nosed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the We Love Joe Judge report here on the Michael Kay Show. So, yeah, I mentioned the Jets grabbed Vinny Curry, 11 games in Philly last year. Andrew, what were your thoughts on Vinny Curry for the Eagles last year?
Last year, I would say he's nothing more than kind of a rotational depth pass rusher.
Okay.
Which is fine. I think the Jets could certainly use some of those, like a third down pass rusher. At his best in 2017, he was a huge part of the Super Bowl team. But you know, that was a while ago now, so I don't know if you'll see much more of him than kind of third down pass rushing situations.
Yeah, last year was 11 games, 3 sacks, 10 quarterback hits. T.Y. Hilton is going back to the Colts. 1 year, $10 million, $8 million guaranteed. Why not? 31 years old, 9 seasons with the Colts, almost consistently, almost their number one from the very beginning.
He's excited about getting thrown to by Carson Wentz.
I am surprised that no one else made it worth his while to leave. Are you guys? Like, I feel like at 31, he could have went out somewhere that to a contender and made some money, no?
I guess it wasn't there.
Nope.
$10 million is a pretty good deal. I mean, it's not Galladay deal, but it's just 1 year. But $10 million is not a bad deal.
But I'm surprised there wouldn't have been a competitive
team. More than Schuster.
Team. It is more than Schuster, and he's earned it more than Schuster. But I'm surprised there wasn't a team out there. Now, Don, would you be more likely to pursue Galladay or T.Y.? Or you want Galladay because he's younger and you can invest for longer?
Yeah, that's what you're looking for, because it's not about winning immediately. It's about something long-term. And
you got to be somewhat close with T.Y. I mean,
yeah.
He's not buying bright green bananas. I mean, they're not brown either. You know, they're a strong yellow banana.
Right, but you're talking about a young kid that had 11 touchdowns the year before last. And the running back that the Jets signed, apparently from what I'm reading, was a running back that Gase wanted when Maccagnan was here, but Maccagnan insisted on Lev Bell. So it shows you Joe Douglas is here. And Joe Douglas is gonna bring in guys that maybe Maccagnan wasn't going to. This is a completely different run team now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL and the NFLPA discussing what they're going to do for the offseason. According to Chris Mortensen, vaccinations now are becoming widely available. Owners hoping to resume in-person workouts this spring. Players Association advocating for another virtual program. So we'll see what happens there. Dan Snyder, and really horrifying news for me, has cleared the hurdles needed to buy out the other Washington football team owners. He will gain almost complete control of the franchise.
I don't know why any owner would want to be a minority owner of a professional team. Okay, you get a good seat. You might actually get a suite, but you have no say in the power. So these guys own 40%. 40% of the team's a lot, but Snyder owned almost the same percent, but his mom owned 6% and his sister owned 12%. So anything those 40% guys did, it didn't mean anything to them.
It's just a money thing because it's a great investment. Bill Maher had 1% of the Mets, right?
Yeah.
I think he still may.
No, he sold it. When Cohen bought it, he bought all those percents out.
Right, because he was on Real Time like a couple of weeks ago when he had Jimmy Kimmel on talking about how there was a no-brainer, the 1%. It's New York baseball. He make a fortune. But guess what? During COVID, during the pandemic, he had to cough up his 1% of the debt.
But he made a lot of money when Cohen bought the team.
Yeah, but at the time, he was just talking about how...
Right.
Think of all those 1% owners out there that don't have somebody coming in and selling the team. They're like, oh, you're making all this money, and you sit back and just collect the money, and all of a sudden there's a margin call because you just lost $50 million, and now you got to cough up your 1%. So it's not a no-brainer. But I'm with you. If I'm going to owe 30, 40%, if I got that kind of money, give me another 10% so I can have some sort of a say.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the guy who owns 49%. Well, what does that do? You could just as well own 2%. And Woody Johnson once told me it's not a great investment if you know, smart businessmen who have that kind of money, if they invest in the market, they're making much more money than they would owning a team.
Well, that's what drove Tisch crazy all those years. He owned 50% of the team, but it seemed like the Maras always were the ones that made the football decisions. And he's like, I want to have a say here, too. I got 50% of the team.
Right. That's the worst percent to have for both.
Yeah.
I always keep asking them, well, what happens if you disagree? Well, we've never disagreed. Okay, but what happens if you did? There is no tiebreaker.
And that's
the,
they
that's both own the exact same amount of the team. So if they both are virulently against the decision, one on one side, what do they do? Does Goodell have to break it up?
Well, that's what happened with Tim and Wellington, remember?
Yeah.
That's why the NFL had to step in and all that, because they could not get along. They weren't talking to each other, and it was an issue, and then the team was suffering. And that's when Roselle came in and said, "All right, let's get a general manager in here and let's get this working." Yeah, that's what would exactly happen. Roger Goodell would have to step in.
But Don, I know you wanted to talk about this today, and I'm interested in this story. It's bizarre. To explain real quick what happened with Tim Peel, and then we'll play the audio that I have here.
All right, there's a game that's involving the Nashville Predators, okay? And there was a call that went for Nashville that shouldn't have. So Tim Peel made a bogus call to kind of even things up, which we know happens a lot in sports, especially hockey. You kind of know, like, that was a bad call. They're going to make it up. Except he got caught on the mic admitting it. He dropped an F-bomb, which didn't get him fired, but admitting the fact that that's what he did. So play the audio, then you'll know.
All right, here's the hot mic. Here's the actual hot mic catching Tim Peel.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early in the...
Oh, man. So he's admitting what we all kind of knew happens in the sport, a makeup call. But here's the thing. It's an NHL official admitting it. And now it's out there. So now it's no longer a myth. It's no longer an urban legend. It's now official. And Tim Peel was retiring at the end of the year. I think he had like 12 games left. He was going to probably get a ceremony the last game, get to pick the arena he was going to be officiating in. His family would have been there. They would have stopped the game. Now he's out. He's out of a job. He's done. And there's a lot of people that are frustrated how you do that. But, you know, the NHL's worried about the integrity. Can you have an official admit that he had a makeup call? Well, I don't know if you could stand for that if you're the NHL.
But since it's such an open secret, it's like gambling in this establishment, that line from Casablanca. Yeah, of course there's gambling there. Of course they have makeup calls. So he should have been disciplined, but I don't understand why he's fired completely. Well, is that a fireable offense when everybody in the upper echelons of the NHL and every sport knows that there are makeup calls? There are makeup calls in the NBA, too.
But I just don't know if you can have an official, you know, admit it, where it now becomes – because you're right, Michael. We all kind of know. It's wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? But you'll never get anybody to admit that it actually does happen. You'll never get an official to say it. Gary Bettman wouldn't come on and say, oh, well, we know that exists. Nobody would ever officially go on record to say it. And now an official says it. So now it confirms it. I feel terrible for the guy. I know him. He used to come on NHL Live all the time. And he was just about to retire. So could they have just slapped him on the wrist and let him go out? But I just understand the NHL's position. Can you tolerate that kind of admittance? Can an umpire just admit during a game that he gave Wade Boggs the black because, you know what, he's Wade Boggs? And then the next guy who's not Wade Boggs strikes out on the same pitch. Yeah, we all know it's Wade Boggs and that's what happened, but can you get an umpire to admit that that's what he did?
It's a very tough spot. Because if he gets a slap on the wrist, then it's them acknowledging this is just something that happens. And they don't want to admit that. When, of course, by the way, here's my problem. Who really has a problem that it happens? Like, as a fan, does it bother you to know that there would be a makeup call?
How about this, though, Peter? Maybe they're sensitive to a level that they never were before because of the advent of gambling.
No. There's nothing wrong with that, though, because you have to be sensitive.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I feel good about for the guy, though, Peter? He'll get to work with Key again, and they'll put together more comedy stuff. And that's
No.
Not the same guy.
That's not the same guy?
The guys with the Aaron skit?
Yeah.
No, it's not Key and Peele.
Oh, see, now.
Jordan Peele's a famed film director. This is a hockey referee. Similar fields.
I'm sorry. That's my bad.
No, I understand.
And you also wonder, too, was there other things? You know, he's never really – officiated, and he officiated in the Olympics, but not a lot of Stanley Cup finals. So, you know, is it just the last straw here? I don't know. But it's Michael makes a great point. We live in a world now where everything, it's no longer about what the final score is, wins and losses. It's now spreads. Right? I mean, so you can maybe years ago you could just talk, what did it mean? They won the game 5-0 anyway. Yeah, but you know, if a bunch of people bet the over, you know, so like every game now is being scrutinized, and I just don't know if you can allow that to happen if you're the NHL.
By the way, Ballard hit me and said the rumor was that T.Y. was offered Baltimore, but the rumor is he preferred to stay in Indy.
Ballard!
Right. Thank you,
man. That's two wide receivers that didn't want to go to Baltimore and decided to stay where they were because Juju did the same thing.
So the NHL essentially told Peele, get out.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't bad. You know, I rolled my eyes at it, and at first I was offended, but it's actually pretty good.
Oh, thanks.
Did you guys hear? It's a thinking piece.
It's a thinking piece. Yes.
Did you guys hear about the little verbal dust up between Trevor Bauer and Scott Servais?
Scott Service, you mean? Yes. No, I have not heard about it.
All right, tell me, please.
This is actually fairly entertaining. So the Mariners beat the Dodgers 7-3 on Monday, and Trevor Bauer afterwards, after getting knocked around, said, I was just throwing pitches. That's not really a good mind frame to be in when you're trying to get guys out, but I was just finishing off the night trying to get my pitch count up. Here's Scott Service on the other side of that.
Certainly Bauer was on top of his game early. And I just want everybody to know that our guys weren't trying the first four innings. We decided to try in the fifth inning last night, and it worked out. Our guys started trying. So I know he had said maybe he wasn't in the fifth, but our guys were trying in the fifth. We just didn't take it seriously the first three, four innings.
Did they have both eyes open?
No, our guys were hitting with one eye shut the first four innings and trying to breathe through our eyelids as we're focusing on different things that will help us throughout the year.
I am officially a Scott Service fan.
I'll tell you what, Bauer rubs people the wrong way. He's getting into Noah Syndergaard won't let him up. He took more shots at him on Twitter, too. Other players just don't like the guy. Forget about, right. like, he's different. He's reaching a different level of major. I don't think players like him.
And I don't know if the Mets think this because they obviously offered him a lot of money, but boy, did they dodge a bullet.
The biggest, and we knew it instantaneously.
You're right.
He made it clear, like, immediately that this guy was just annoying.
Because, again, in L.A., they'll laugh at it. Just they laughed at Manny, right, with his hair and everything. They thought it was funny because that's the way they are in L.A. But in New York, that would not fly. This stuff would not fly. And if he didn't perform well, forget it.
He'd it would fly if he performed well, though. It'll be their. It would be their wacky guy.
I guess.
Yeah. Guys, the Mike Tyson Holyfield fight off again.
No way.
Yep. Tyson's rep says that Mike misspoke.
Oh boy.
When he said the fight was on.
Yeah, there's a lot for interpretation there.
The rep says Tyson wasn't aware the two sides were far apart at the negotiating table, and unless something drastic happens, Mike and Evander will not be fighting.
Ah, terrible.
And now. Without any further ado,
oh please!
No
brought to you by our friends at Wendy's, it's time for Drop Madness. Yes, the update is officially here, guys, and we have winners. We have a winner in the Don region, the one seed.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
You knew it. You knew what was going to happen with Sniff him. Sniff him dead. It was just a matter of time. And the time came, and sadly, the 9 seed was the victim.
Buccaneers travel to Carolina to take on the Christian McCafferlessly.
Oh.
Try it again.
Let's do Christian McCafferlessly.
Oh, that's sad. That's the 8 seed. I apologize.
Now, do you think the 15% of people that voted for that were Tiger fans?
Who were offended?
Yes.
No. I'm a Tiger fan. I mean, I may be too close to it.
But you're rational. Like Trey Wingo voted for McCafferlessly. Mike Greenberg voted for the 8 seed.
They didn't want to hear it. Well, because you were going at them, to
right,
be fair.
Exactly.
It wasn't Tiger you were going at. So that's the one over the 8 in the Don region.
The Let's ones to, really came to play today, didn't they?
Oh,
they
yeah.
did. It's no joke.
It's
in
a good
tournament.
Day for Andrew.
Let's go to the 1 seed in the Michael region.
Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday.
A 78-22 winner over the 9 seed.
I'll scream over you, too.
Easy.
I love that one.
Easy. Also pretty easy for the 1 seed in the Peter region. Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. The Ravens against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee.
Guy 71. Two teams. Amazing.
71-29 over the 8 seed.
If the most you could give is $5 for a movie.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
Now, you guys knew we were going to see Andrew versus Andrew in the Nether region, and you guys were both right. It wasn't close. A 79-21 shellacking by the 1 seed.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Oh, my. I feel uncomfortable every time I hear it.
I know.
His voice has great range, though.
It really does, and it's over for the 8 seed. Were you fully in the nude when Tobias Harris hit that shot?
Oh, man, was I.
So, Andrew, are you upset that you were blown out or happy that you blew out your opponent?
Well, I'm happy, like you said, Don, when the 1 seeds do well, I feel like it's a positive reflection on the seedings in the tournament. So I'm good with it.
So tonight, you and the rest of the committee, you'll sip a little scotch and toast each other and say, job well done, boys.
Right, like kind of a smug gathering.
Right. Very smug. Yeah. And not
we'll
on
call
Zoom.
It a smuggering.
And not on Zoom. It'll be like on like a little like a speakeasy, like an underground bar where you can smoke cigars inside. That's where I see
you guys.
You
have to be underground anymore.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Drop Madness on the Michael Kay Show is brought to you by Wendy's, where
That's
quality
right.
is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday, March 24th.
Wow. 1-800-919-3776. We have a lot of stuff to do. We'll take some phone calls. Then we have phoning it in with the big fella to end it up and lead you into Chris Carlin's show. So please stick around. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.